going to see if we can be intelligible.
We can be intelligible. We just can't be intelligent.
I'm already confused. I don't know. Anything with intellect is just...
they are truth, so our target is to be truthful, not to be intelligent, necessarily.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
If we're comfortable in our intelligence, then we're toast anyway.
We're in trouble anyhow.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, it's been a blessing to be here in South Carolina. We're taught, and I know, that fellowship is food for the soul. And as we strengthen our soul and in the fellowship of the body, I know I learn about who I am in Christ by doing that. I don't know about other people, but I don't always know how to act. You guys know how to act all the time. I don't always know how to act. And I know that in getting together with the body, because doesn't happen every week with Gail and I, it's not routine.
There's a lot of grace in doing a radio show, because there's no obvious element of a lack of understanding of how to behave.
Right.
You know, you can always throw a song on. Or
sure.
Talk, make somebody else talk. You know, do something else. But
that's what that's about.
So, you know, if you got a face for radio, chances are you got a mind for it as well.
Well, and our who we are in Christ is really defined by our place in the body, isn't it? I mean, when it comes right down to it, we operate in and through Him who is among us. And if you don't do it, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. I mean, I know if you don't, it says, forsake not fellowship. Right? The scripture tells us not to be outside of fellowship. And the reason is, at least when I come into fellowship and haven't had fellowship for a while, I can see why. People that have fellowship all the time with other believers may not realize how valuable it is. And I know that, for me, I mean, I always find myself recognizing its value when I get to get together, whether it's at the convention or here in South Carolina or up in Vermont. We count ourselves blessed when we get together with other believers, because we spend, or at least I spend, probably the majority of my time in the world among people who are not believers. And while they recognize that I'm a Christian, and that I have, even in my work.
Let's see if he can step in it as he gets through this. I'm sure there's a foot that's
ready to go in.
Ready to go into something that you don't really want to have to scrape off. But,
but yeah, I mean, and even out there in the world and at work, people know, you know, but the world, and this is the thing that outside the body can be very depressing. I don't know how others are around the holidays, but around family that don't believe. I mean, I have sons that are on again, off again. From time to time, they seem like maybe they believe. And that can be pretty depressing to be around folks that don't share the faith. And I'm interested in hearing what other people, what you guys think about, because some of you, I mean, Phil, your whole family, praise God, is in fellowship and in the body. Your children, your wife, everyone that's around you. But you go to work every day.
Well, listen, yeah. When you're around people in the body, excuse me for interrupting.
No. Go ahead. Interrupt.
Then there's ample opportunity to be rubbed the wrong way.
Amen.
The tumbler, I think, is what Amen. Rick calls it, getting tossed in the old tumbler. But you know, that's good for you as well. Now, you go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, I spend a lot of time at work. I mean, it's a lot of hours that it calls for at work. But however, it is interesting because, you know, one of the things that I came across, one, it's blessed. It's definitely strengthened when, you know, you guys have come down. I know it's strengthening for Paul and I and others here. It's definitely strengthening in that, like, and we quite frankly enjoy it. It's a blessing to us as well. And the other side of that too is you guys were gone Friday night. I mean, Friday, y'all went and got helped out. You know, Jeff and James and Scott went to Florida. Well, I made a decision, you know, Roses with Hope. I made the decision to come hang out with Paul. One of the things was a gratefulness that came over me because Paul and I hung out till about 2 o'clock in the morning and had just an outstanding time with one another. And we have had many times like that. But one thing was it was a gratefulness that had came over that, you know, I have this all the time. I mean, I might be at work as something, but Paul is ready, available to have fellowship with me, and I with him at the times that I'm off, and that is a blessing. And there's a great gratefulness that came down from that for sure. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, man, I forgot how good I get it. I got it. You know what I'm saying? In that sense, I just wanted to share that.
We have a multitude of members in the body. It has swollen here at this location for the last several days. And it's been, like I said, a blessing. It gives you an opportunity to actually see, because the two families we have here do not have access to that kind of fellowship. And the saying that we got from Texas out in Texas was fellowship is food for the soul.
Amen.
And it truly is. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what that fellowship looks like. It's really a good time in the Lord all the time.
It is. It is. I mean, you had... You know, I forget these things, and it's strengthening. We strengthen one another in the faith, mm-hmm. and in the focus of the Lord and what it's about, being about the Father's will. I mean, because I think it was not too long before you guys came down. It was one of those things where I think, you know, Hope was not feeling. We usually do Bible study Tuesday mornings. Hope was not doing so well. I took the girls out and the kids out, and Lisa came and fellowshipped, and we all were cutting down trees and dragging them off. But even that was a blessing. I mean, it was a huge blessing, and it was one that I know strengthened Lisa at the time that she needed strengthening, and it strengthened me, and we were able to get some things done. And even though we didn't have that Bible study for the day or any of those things, it still was a strengthening thing. And that's, we have that. We have that all the time, and it's easy, I know, for me to forget how blessed we got.
Most of the time,
you know what I'm saying?
Most of that time. I mean, especially if you have a system. The system is, all right, we do our Bible study, we do read the Bible, and we, you know, gather around the table and we talk about it, and we do that at 8 o'clock every morning. If you get company from out of town and that changes, that's not a big deal.
No, not at all.
The enemy might use that against you to make you feel like you've fallen off rails or some yeah. kind of, but the to be able to fellowship is why you spend the time in the Word and why you spent that time doing that stuff. And it's profitable.
Amen.
For everybody who partakes of it. And you can sit down and do your thing again any time of your choosing. I mean, it's not something that you should let the enemy beat you up about, feel guilty about, that you're off because you missed that thing when you had a great time in the Lord.
Amen. But
they're not a substitute, but they're also
It's not.
It's what the Lord has for you that day.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's really, I mean, you're just not, you don't want to get caught up in the ritual and all these things of doing these things. It's what the Lord has you for that day. I mean, that time, I mean, usually Tuesday mornings I get with the girls and everything like that, but that time that Hope was sick, I just knew it wasn't the time to have everybody, but she was really feeling bad. And that was one of those times where things, we did things differently, but it still was a blessing. This past week, been different for me waking up. I mean, kind of waking up late and going to work right away and all these things. I haven't had that time to word, and I could sit back and I was kind of confessing to Paul a bit, kind of feeling like, man, I haven't gotten a word that much. I feel like a scumbag, but you know what? That's bullcrap, because what the Lord has provided is great, greater. You know, I mean, it's a praise. It's
especially important when you're making plans for yourself that you do them in pencil. Because there might be a time when the Lord is interested in his thing and not in yours.
right. But and I didn't really have any plans in any of it at all. I was kind of seeing what was going on.
That was something I was supposed to have said before you started talking, right?
I was thinking I didn't have any written agenda this week at all, actually.
I'm the radio guy here. I'm the one supposed to know how to format and do segues and stuff. But we started with my mic off, so I mean, that's how good it is.
Praise God.
Just before we started, I went to cough and I had to turn the mic off and I forgot to turn it back on again. See? Never good to get terribly self-satisfied in your abilities, because you're gonna get exposed for being the
boob that you are.
The deficient, insignificant pile of insanity that you really are.
Yep. Amen. And I mean, one of the things I know is that and this is not a good thing. It's actually, I've come to believe it's a form of idolatry. I get real comfortable in routine. And if routines aren't just the way they always are, I don't feel real good about stuff. I get off. And, being here, praise God, is much better than being in those routines. But I learned early on, I used to watch, Brother Davey, and as an example, I mean, Steve is a more regimented, minister, and a guy whose, role in the body is a little bit different. But when you're serving the Lord, having routines and every day you gotta be somewhere at a certain time and all that other stuff, particularly early on when I came to the Lord, I recognized that in watching Brother Davey most of all, is that he's not married to what he wants to do next or what he thinks he should be doing next. And one of the things, you got to get loose. I mean, you got to get freed up in order to actually follow what the Lord has for you, because it can change at any moment. And several exercises in moving around the country have made it so gotten to the point where I'm not near as married to my routine and my own agenda as I once was. Still, you know, put the ring on every once in a while, but I'm more faithful to be able to wiggle and jiggle in the wind of the Spirit.
That's a scary vision.
Yeah, right.
That mental vision.
You know, something was shared to me not too long ago, I was talking with Steve. One of the things, whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Whatever the Lord has for you, do it heartily as unto the Lord, because, I mean, here's, you know, when, you know, he used the example of Davey, he'd be playing the video game. You know what?
Oh yeah.
He was doing that heartily as unto the Lord.
I mean, it's one of the places I used to watch Brother Davey is playing video games, which I don't like video games.
And,
but I could see that the Lord was with Davey when he was playing video games. And that always, I mean, particularly in the beginning, there were things about Davey, and I mean, I know, and things about Steve, things about all of us. And I'd walk away scratching my head, saying, man, Lord, what's that all about? And little by little, I mean, the Lord loves us, and he don't want to deprive us of things that we enjoy. I mean, it ain't that way. So many people outside of Christianity, outside of the true faith, think that, you know, the Lord is a guy up there with the rod and wants you to got to do everything just a certain way and be all wound tight and follow a bunch of directions and rules and whatnot. And it's absolutely a lie.
And that's bondage. Yeah, I mean, the Lord's called us to liberty here.
Amen.
You know, I mean, what that is bondage. And then you're not even effective even preach the gospel. So you're caught up in your own freaking routine so bad that you're not freeing him to deliver that which is free.
Amen.
Because you bound yourself up.
I remember in a service, it may have been Phil, it may have been Steve speaking about praying like in the morning and, Lord, what can I do for you? How often do we pray? Lord, what can I do for you? Not, Lord, you know, this is going on. I need this. I need that. And it's, you know, we're here to serve the Lord. We're not here for the Lord to serve us. We're servants of the Lord. And that, Lord, what can I do for you today is a great starting point every morning. You say you have to have a reset every morning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's true. On my way to work, I pray. You know, Lord, transform me, you know. What can I do for you today? I know I'm a horrible, wretched sinner, but have your grace upon me that I may be profitable for you.
Yeah. You know, what does James say about that, though? I mean, because that's not liberating at all when it's... I mean, what you're saying there is liberating. Lord, what can I do for you? Because what that does is that opens up what the Lord has for you that day. But if you're all about your own agenda... You know, what does he say? How, you rich men, because you say tomorrow we're going to go and do this and sell this and that and go to the market and do this and that. But you're about your own thing.
Presumptive is all get
out. You're presumptive. And you think what you have in mind is God's will, and it's not. You know?
The reason it's not is because it's your will.
Exactly. Exactly.
They failed it very seldom intersect.
And what you have is, that's a freeing place. And it's a joyful place to be in. You're not bound up with the rules and regulations of this world.
Yeah, amen.
And of your own mind. You're free in Christ Jesus. And then he's gonna be able to move abundantly. You can ask or think. Because you're free to do what he would have you do.
Yeah. Going through here, go ahead, Jim.
Well, it just reminds me, you know, we only have one job, and that's to go out and preach the gospel.
Sow the seed.
And, you know, Scott said earlier, you know, it's very easy. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, soul, strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
It's simple.
But we sure do make it hard.
And we make it complicated when it's not.
It's not, absolutely. But you know, when we allow our flesh to start moving in and our lusts and all these things, the cares of the world, something so simple becomes unattainable.
Well, you know, it runs afoul of the natural, right? In Ephesians, where Paul tells the husbands to love their wives as they love themselves. Because that way they have an example. Because they take care of themselves.
Yeah, we know how to feed what we want. And now we naturally are selfish that way.
That's why the command is to love your neighbor as you would love yourself. It's because you know how to love yourself.
You know when you're hungry. You know when you want something. You know, yeah.
So... hopefully, you can get to the point where you can love your neighbor more than you love yourself. And I should be as on top of seeing that their interest is served before yours is. Our example is Jesus. Jesus yielded his plan, his will, to the Father.
Every minute of every day.
He had constant communion with the Father. He did what he gave him to do and said what he gave him to say. And that's loving your neighbors more than yourself all the way to death on the cross like the criminal.
Amen. And you know, that's, you can sit back and say, well, that was Jesus. He had perfect communion with the Father. That's not, but you know, Jesus was fully man when he did that. And we gotta understand, was that veil ripped in twain? Do we now not have that access to the Spirit? Yes, we do. It's now up to us just to make the choice because he paved the way for us to do it. And we have no excuse.
Because he did it, we can do
it. And we have no excuse. Because he did it, we can do it. Like Paul says. He's given everything. He bet that when that veil was ripped in twain, that means there's no separation between you and the Father anymore. There's that communication through Jesus.
It's you know, like when you've had somebody ministering the truth to you and you've seen them walk, you've seen them, be instant in season and out of season. You've seen them take the risk in telling you the truth that you'll just take
pack off. It up and go.
Yeah,
people do.
And you've seen them. You've seen them love others more than themselves. You know, if I'm a selfish, I'm gonna care how this affects me more than I am how it affects them.
Yep.
And I will strategically keep my mouth shut because it benefits me until I get mad, and then I want to, open the mouth and make a fool of myself. But that's not what, and where I was going with all this, because I kind of veered off track there, because they did it. There's no justification in your failure to do the same thing. It's the same challenge that just because Jesus did it, we stand guilty as charged in not staying in the body, not keeping ourselves attached to the vine.
Right. Because that is, I mean, that really is, and we talked about that in service this morning. I mean, that really is what it's about. It is an act. A conscious act of the mind, of the will to do that.
Right.
And so often we're so caught up in ourselves that we forget to do it. I don't know about anybody else, but it seems like forgetting to me. What it really amounts to is rebellion. I mean, it's rebellion of the flesh, and we're so used to agreeing with it. At least I'm so used to agreeing with it that it comes more like, natural to me to do that than it does to do what's right.
It's like this. When your children were younger, you took care of your children. The whole time you've had your wife, you take care of your wife. You take care of your dogs. You take care of the Lord. You're about doing his thing the same way you serve these other things. No, you don't forget take care of the dog. You don't forget to take care of your wife. They're right there before you. The Lord.
Right. We have to call him to mind.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, and that's really what it amounts to.
The only thing we're guilty of is being lazy and forgetful, which is a heck of a thing. When I say the only thing, it's just the truth about this is, and I don't say it's the only thing like that justifies us in any way. It's the worst thing.
We're spiritually lazy.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's funny. I remember when I first come to the Lord, making judgments of certain ministers about how little they did. And, wondering, how's he getting away with this? Being the kind of guy that thought everybody ought to be working at least as hard as I am. And I had this martyr thing going on when I worked and worked and worked. Everybody ought to be working as hard as me. I tortured my kids and I tortured my wife. Anybody who wasn't working as hard as me was subject to my judgment. And first coming to the Lord, I realized that being carnally busy is totally contrary to being spiritually alive and active. Alright, it's easy to be carnally busy. You know, to do something to work.
Serving yourself.
Right. It don't necessarily have to be that. But it can be.
Even if it's not directly about serving yourself, it becomes indirectly about, well, you want life at home to be peaceful, what do you do?
It can come around to that.
Yeah.
But the thing about being spiritually active is it you rest from your own works, the scripture says. Right? I mean, in the end, if you're so busy working to get all kinds of stuff done, right, you're not resting in Christ in the midst of that.
And you can do that is be doing his thing.
That's it.
And look, guys, I mean, it's the same thing as going, one could be doing it hardly as unto the Lord, and another could be doing the same exact thing, and it be all wrong, and be all carnal, and be all like you're saying about, it's just you carnally being busy, and anybody who's not as busy as you are suffers your judgment. And you're in the dead wrong place there. And
the old two people can be doing the same thing for different reasons. One be right and one be wrong.
Absolutely. And I remember it was funny when I went to the conference, and it was the first, I mean, I just walked in the door at the ranch there, or the camp kitchen, and the ladies were talking about schooling with their kids. I said, and it just struck me, and one of the things was, we get hung up on our own agenda way too much. I said, girls, I mean, it's much more profitable if you had this whole school day set in front of you. Okay, and then you're just pushing the school day to get over with. And you never deal with the issues or the struggles that the kids have in that. But rather, that one thing they hit the struggle with, and you just deal with that one thing, and let's say you don't hit any of the other subjects the rest of the day, but you hit that one struggle, and you help tackle that one struggle. Right. What's more profitable? You stopping at that struggle to get that struggle dealt with, than to go forward in that agenda, and they never learn a thing anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the same type of thing.
Yeah. We stubbornly and bullheadedly go forward in our own thing, and it's much more, I mean, I suppose this has been the theme, but it's much more, it's about stopping, bringing ourselves up short, or sometimes having to be brought up short.
Right.
By somebody. And I mean,
reminding what it's about, what the focus is.
Yep.
It's about loving the Lord and loving one another.
Or things getting far enough so something goes wrong. Something goes haywire. Somebody loses their temper. Somebody gets an attitude. All of a sudden, well, why have you got an attitude? And you look at yourself and figure, oh wow, I've been pushing my own agenda here for the last 6 hours and now my wife's got an attitude. Go figure. How that worked out, you know what I mean? I mean, and at work, it's the same thing. I mean, I get at work.
Action, reaction.
That's it. And a lot of times it has to go, I don't know about anybody else, but a lot of times for me, that sometimes I gotta have, some kind of fireworks to bring me back to get me where I need to be, you know?
Amen. Amen. And that's an easy place to fall into. I mean, you talk about in Hebrews, the first part of that is it's the sin that so easily beset us. And we're convinced in our own mind that what you're doing is the right thing, and you are, it gotta be done, and all these things, and really, you're freaking 5 miles off point.
Nope.
Sorry, I'm getting a little excited here.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's the truth, I get caught up in this crap all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I confess. It's terrible. Terrible.
This is terrible. Dude, Charles Barkley, terrible.
That's just me.
You better say something.
Oh, I love the way you took authority in that. That was really good.
Hey, amen, Phil.
Yeah. Next.
Yeah.
Oh, well, praise the Lord, we're having a good time here.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen. It's always a blessing to get together with the fellas. Yep.
Oh, boy. It's just...
I was looking at, in the beginning, the kind of things we're talking about and how routines end up besetting us and how sin besets us. I happened to open up Colossians in chapter 2. The various things. I mean, I was looking particularly at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I mean, the idea of philosophy and vain deceit, work ethic is one of the ones that's, it's like an old wives' tale, right? They call it the Protestant work ethic here in America. The idea that working until you dropped was the right thing to do. All right. And there's so many traditions, and we think of traditions like, the celebration of Christmas, like the thing that we just went through. Mm-hmm. Most of the people in this fellowship, I believe have a pretty firm understanding of what Christmas is all about in terms of its roots and where it came from and why, it is not of God. You go out in the rest of the world, the rest of what would pass for the Christian world.
The funny thing is, and I'm interrupting you, so you want to keep your thought.
Yep.
The funny thing is, what Christmas has become, it became by way of political compromise. And today, it's still an offense to the politically correct. Yep. Even the abomination that it has become is offensive. And it should be offensive to Christians, but it isn't. It's still offensive to those people out there who think it is given to them to be the decider in chief for how you think.
What you think and believe.
Right.
Yep. And I mean, this is all about the idea of the traditions of men. It's not just holidays. It's not just those things that are kind of big. They loom large, like Christmas and Easter and those kind of holidays. But the way that people are in the world, the routines, their thinking processes, all of those things, when we're out there in the world, become so easy to become enmeshed in. You know what I mean? To stand separate. When you look at a guy like Davey, for example, I mean, what worldly thing have you ever seen him fit into? He does pretty good at restaurants. You know what I mean? But he's always like the oil on top of the water. He's always, even when he's in the world, if you see, watch him operate, he's not part of the world. You know what I mean? And that, to me, that's something I'm hoping someday to be able to walk in and learn to be in the world and not get enmeshed in the things of the world, to be that separate, but in the world, but because that's really the testimony that the Lord wants us to be out there, right? He wants us to be different for them to, and usually being different means we don't like you.
You're peculiar.
You're an oddball.
He's light in the midst of darkness.
Amen. Amen. And that. And
well, he looks at the restaurant as being a crowd. it's a ministry opportunity, you know. And we should be walking around looking like that. And I've seen. I can't think of a time we went to a restaurant that if it wasn't a ministry opportunity to me, it was somebody in the restaurant got ministered to as well.
Yep.
That's fulfilling the Great Commission.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Going into all the world.
Preach the gospel. And sometimes use the word.
Making disciples.
You know, and remember that Steve has shared that vision where he's like, as you go into the world, preach the gospel. And one of the things is he goes, you know, Lord, what does it look like from your perspective? And he went outside and he looked up and he's seen all the stars and he's seen those lights in the dark places. And he showed Steve that those were Christians. Lights in the world. They all have their place. Same purpose, but have their place. And that's what we need to be as we go out. And I remember Davey went to a restaurant, and he was going like twice or three times a week to this one restaurant over and over. And the whole purpose of him going to this restaurant, he comes back finally and says, "Yes, yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." I was like, "What the freak is going on?" You know, I got the witness to her. I got the witness to the waitress. That whole time, the Lord was putting him there for her sake. He wasn't going to the restaurant. I'm sure he enjoyed the food. I mean, don't get me wrong, but that wasn't his purpose in going. The whole purpose was going was to be able to have that opportunity to minister, to witness to that lady. You know, that needs to be our perspective at work. That needs to be our perspective at going out shopping. That needs to be our perspective going out on a bike ride. How many times we miss that? I just know me. Too many times I won't even admit.
That's what's empty about the passage you read out of Colossians there. Vain.
Yeah.
It pulls you out from the mind of Christ and puts you into the mentality of the world.
The ways of the world, yep.
Right. And that's what I was seeking to kind of open up here with this scripture. It's not just about those, you know, those big, road sign traditions like the holidays that most of us have an understanding of as being not of God, but just the day to day rituals and routines that the world sucks you into. All right. And I don't know about others, but far too often I go along with, I'm on board for. And then that separateness, that light that you have an opportunity to be, never happens. You're not different. You're not, there's no longer a discernible difference between you and the others in the process.
Exactly. What was it that, there's a scripture and it goes, that it's talking about that's what the Gentiles seek. But it's not in the Gospels. That's not what I'm talking about. But that is still same point that Jesus was making. I mean, after these things, do the Gentiles seek?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying in the sense, I mean, don't walk after the vanity of your own mind as other Gentiles do.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying. He said, be different.
Yeah.
Be about the opportunity of preaching the gospel and using words sometimes. And we really need to come back. I mean, for me, I mean, you guys coming down, and just having this right here is just then let's get it back to what, let's bring it back to what it's about.
In the gospel, what he's talking about is, I don't need that.
Okay. Oh, I forgot. I apologize.
In the gospels, he's talking about, you know, what am I going to wear? What am I going to, with what all am I going to be clothed? And it's after all these things to the Gentiles see. But, you know, you have your Heavenly Father. And he cares for you, which is a, you know, terrible paraphrase of what's going on there, but that's what's going on in the gospel. There's a place in Ephesians where it says, as you used to walk in this yourself, as other Gentiles have, but you're not like that anymore. It says in Colossians as well, in chapter 1 in Colossians. And I can sit here and we'd probably spend the rest of the show sitting there making citations of how we're supposed to be different, not just different than we were, but different than we were when we were representing the world. When the lust of the flesh and the lust of our eyes and the pride of life were what motivated and drove us. We're supposed to be about Him now. About His way.
And in the gospel it says this is what the Gentiles seek in the clothing and all. I mean, that's why people go to work and all these things. And it needs to be different for us, but we can also get caught up in as just as we were talking about before and our own agenda of thinking, oh, this is the right thing to be doing. And you just drive and drive like you're talking about. And then all of a sudden fireworks happen because You completely had nothing to do with the Lord. And we can get caught up. It might not be the material things that we gain, but in our own agenda of getting things accomplished that are just
pretty soon
not what he has.
Pretty soon, when you're driving yourself like that, you baited yourself into the martyrdom complex.
That's right.
Because
that was certainly where I was.
Your wife or your child or your friend or somebody is going to sit there and go, man, you're killing yourself. What for? And you sit there and you go, I'm killing myself for you. You can't understand. Yep. I deny myself all this stuff, yep, all my life, and I'm doing it for you.
Yep.
You hateful, ruthless bitch. I mean,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's exactly where we
where
are.
Where you come from when you do it. I know because I did it for years. I mean, I still fall into it. My poor wife.
Why do you think those words slip out of my mouth so effortlessly?
And the whole... And the whole time, here's your wife or your child or your brother that is just going, I just need you to spend some time with me. They're balking that they got all these needs, but you're so driven about your own agenda that you don't even see them. You don't even see them, and yet they need you. And they need you to be to spend and deal with what they need. And we're so busy about our own thing that we don't even hear it. We don't even see it. We don't even perceive it.
That's true.
And it's a sad thing.
I mean, we're going to give Gail a minute here.
You don't even appreciate all of that sacrifice on my part.
We're going to give, because she's certainly going to have something to say about it.
It's worthless.
But, you know, it's interesting that you go back to the gospel and point out after all these things to the Gentiles seek, because it's about what we're after that draws us in. Right. We get drawn in, look over in James where it says drawn away in their own lust, and that's why people war and all this other stuff. It's about what we're after that draws us into this mess and pulls us outside the body and outside of what the Lord would have us do. But it's us that's after those things. I mean, I know I had a conversation with my lovely wife who has kind of joined us in the wings here, and I'm sure she's got some things to say about all this, about how much, and this became particularly evident to me in selling this house down in Florida lately, how much what I do pivots off of money, how much it's going to cost, you know, whether we, you know, the idea that Lord says, go do this thing, or, you know what I mean? Doesn't occur to me. I mean, to me, I look at a thing and the whole way I evaluate it, size it up and think about it is whether or not I can pay for it. That's where I start as a natural person.
You say, okay, Lord, now how can I make the finances work? And you get into that busy, 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 trying to make the finances work. And when you're not working them in the computer, you're running around. And I can see it in your eyes, you know? They're just spinning and spinning. And I'm like, hi, hon. You know, want to spend some time with me? I'm killing myself already for you. You want to eat? You want a roof over your head? You know, it's, I can see it just tears
not,
you
Scotty.
Up.
Come on,
but there's a word you guys have not mentioned.
To be honest.
Well, we all do it in our own way. We all do it. Women do it too. You want me to spend time with you? Well, do you want clean clothes on your back and yada, yada, yada? You know, it's all the same nonsense, really. It's just in a different little area. But
we
the word that's not being said.
We have treating each other like that than we do loving.
Oh, amen. Amen. The word is focus. Where is our focus? If the focus is on the Lord, then you trust him and you just go forward, and sometimes
whatever
you can't see.
Partly is under the Lord.
You can't see according to the natural how it's going to work, and that's the point of it.
It's what faith
so
is.
So it's our focus.
And you know, look, praise the Lord. I mean, as we're talking, because there's just a lot of light being shined in my own heart in this whole thing. I mean, to be honest, I mean, you can sit there and, like I said, man, you know, what I have here is great. You know, Paul, when I fellowshipped him Friday, I said, man, I have this all the time. And you know, I'm guilty of not seeing that because I'm caught up on my own agenda way more than I want to admit. And you know, it's just it's a sad thing. You'd be sitting there physically present and just engulfed with blessing and with what the Lord has for you, and you be not in it.
Got nothing.
And you be not in it. Your mind is, you're out still outside of that body because your mind is on whatever.
Yep, not even present.
And not even present. Even your physical body be there, but not present there. Okay. And to me, that's just a freaking wake-up call. We were just talking about chastisement. I'm telling you, this is a good one for me. Praise God for it.
And everybody has to yell all the time. People are not yelling. That we're sneaky. We do other ways of yelling in somebody's face, which is the sackcloth and ashes routine. You know, where you're just not saying anything bad. Technically, you know, you're being good in your own eyes. But you're walking around just looking like, oh, life is so hard. You know? It's just nonsense. Either way you go, because I have had children that showed that to me. And I identified with it. The screamer and the one that hangs around moping and just acting like, oh, it's so bad. But they didn't say anything nasty. So, we're just tricky.
But it's in our own, yeah. And, you know, look, it's so, praise God. Praise God for this hour of truth. I think we got a pretty good dose of it.
Well, I mean, my wife showed up over here to try and, you know, to help bring across the idea that as a practicing Christian, I yet depart off into these weeds far too often. And I mean, it's really one of the things that...
It's an extension of my arm.
Yeah. That's it.
It's an extension of my arm. That's it. That's the funniest thing. It's an extension of my own arm. And
like I said, I mean, in the gospel...
And then I'm screwing up the whole levy, you know?
The simple truth of the gospel, I mean, has it right there. These are the things that you seek, that the Gentiles seek. So if you go after those, it's what you want. In the end, you know... My prayers a lot lately are, I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm frightened of how little interested I can be in God sometimes. How very little attention I want to be given Him. I mean, I don't know about other people, but, and I'd love to be able to say, well, it's my sin nature that's doing that. And I mean, I want all the wrong stuff. I want all the wrong stuff. And I can't blame anybody for that. I've gotten to the place in my walk where I can see that that ain't anybody else's fault but mine.
Well, it's easy to praise the Lord when all your little ducks are in a row.
One of the things that you said what was work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. And I remember going back and I think it was Tuesday night we're watching the movie and we're going in what I was saying and said, well, I know I struggle with that. And, you know, I know even some other people that are over me struggle with that. Well, it doesn't make it right.
No.
I mean, we were talking about there's no justification there.
No.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make it right. And the thing is, if you want to be that good ground, that means you agree with the Word. And that's what we were talking about. I mean, if we agree with the Word, and that's something, that's a choice daily. You know, you can be throughout the day, all day, one of those other categories except the one that counts.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's a daily thing. That's not just one day you decide and then, no, that's a daily choice.
Daily, all day thing.
Moment by moment struggle.
And so do we reach for, well, I mean, because I don't want the Lord, if you go to Proverbs, I will laugh at his calamity and turn his...
Quit listening to this.
Exactly. I don't want to be that. So to sit back and is that... Oh, well, that's okay. I struggle with that. And I know so-and-so struggles with that. But, well, the fear of the Lord should be, so what? I want to be the fourth category, the good ground there. Amen. So I'm going to agree with the Word. That's still... The fear of the Lord should be, Lord, what do you have for me to do today? I'm going to agree with your Word. My agenda just doesn't matter. You know,
I sit there and I listen to these, you know, especially the local channels right there. It's on network news as well. They talk about these people that are, you know, holding
Christmas dinners or Thanksgiving dinners for people. He said, that just makes me feel so good to do that. Every one of them to the man is telling, they're confessing to you, they're doing it not because they are needy and I know the Lord and I need to talk to them about the Lord. They're doing it because it makes them feel good. Now, there's no telling how it makes them feel good. It might make them feel superior to them or blessed, but it just makes them feel good is why they're doing it, which totally casts off the idea that there's anything Christian or evangelistic or missionary about this outreach effort at all. It's about the weight making me feel good about it. And if you're sitting there...
It's another consumption.
It's what the Pharisees did. I mean, if you look at it, because they had the rules and regulations they lived up to, it made themselves look good.
Jesus said, you've got your reward in full.
Oh, yeah.
All you're going to get.
And going back to the seed and sower part, because if you go back, even just that, I mean, you're given that place of, well, I know I struggle with that, or so-and-so struggles with that. That's already giving grounds to that third category, which becometh unfruitful.
Yep, it is.
You're already given place to the wrong category. And the fear of the Lord should provoke us. And really, when you do things heartily other than the Lord, it's actually a liberating thing.
Yep.
I mean, it's a joyful thing, and it's a freeing thing. You don't have a worry in your mind, because all it is about, Lord, what do you have for me to do? If you're about his business, he's going to take care of his soldiers and the servants. He's going to take care of you. You ain't got to worry about that. He says, let's go to the other side. We're going to the other side. Let's rejoice in that.
How am I
going
to pay for it,
Lord? Oh, yeah. That's most of our responses.
Oh, gosh, I don't mean to laugh.
But you know, but a response can change. We can choose our chance. And the point of doing this is to bring this out in ourselves, that we can see it ourselves. Yeah. And I think all of us here talking struggle with it. We're not sitting here saying from the standpoint, we got this thing in the bag. We're just confessing we struggle with this dang thing. Right. We can see it for what it is. And now, guess what? Let's turn it loose.
Amen.
Let's be free from it.
Well, you got it. We can change.
Take it off.
Amen.
Take it off like a nasty old coat and get rid of it.
Remember that song, Yes, Lord, Yes, 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 yeah. Lord? And we just gave it to him, and, you know, Davey's up there, let it go. Let it go. I think I rewound that song like 10 times in my car. And then the way it played, I tried to look at it. I tried to look it up on, like, YouTube and everything like that to find that song. I was like, it wasn't played better anywhere. With the piano and everything on the recording was the best. I was like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And but that's what we need to come to more and more. Here we are 2 months out of the conference. We're struggling with the same things. Yes, Lord, take it off.
Yeah,
and it's a praise, Lord, we have this fellowship to see it and let it go again. Yeah. Let's give it to Him. Amen.
That's why not neglecting fellowship is so very important. Because if you just have your own counsel, you'll listen to your own crap. And imagine what you'd be.
If we fall back in the same category of we're 5,000 miles away from hitting what the Lord has for us, but we're dead set. We think we're right. We think we're right and we're going forward and we're missing everybody's needs in the midst of it.
We're frog gigging on the golf course.
Doug Dynasty, I'm hooked, line, and sinker on that show, I tell you.
Five.
Yeah.
Five from that science fiction.
The fellowship is really good, like Gail was saying. I mean, it brings things to light that we don't see in ourselves. And, you know, I know Rose and I both, when we leave, are strengthened every time we come here. Far more than we were when we got here. You know, it's a great thing to feel the love of God. And it really is a strengthening thing. And I just praise God we're able to come here as often as we are.
Is better from now on.
Amen. And you know that goes both ways. I mean, what you see is that actually goes both ways, because Paul and the other people in this ministry are strengthened when you guys come here too.
Amen.
We are, and it goes both ways, and that's all the work of the Lord. Yep. I mean, because we know we don't ever bring anything to the table.
Yeah,
that's all the Lord.
Never the one person. Praise God, because we'd all love to get lifted up, and then we'd go to hell.
Yeah.
We'd go to hell in it.
Yeah, and it's not, And we just know it's not on our doing. I mean, that's what the Lord is doing. He's doing the work in the midst of us just gathering together. I mean, we're making that choice to gather together, but what happens?
Do the Duck Dynasty thing, man. He said that's how it is,
yeah,
man.
But yeah. We're
together and the Lord does all the work. See that? It's a beautiful thing. But it is. It's how he designed the body. It's why the body's important.
And, but who gets the glory there? The Lord does.
Yes.
You know?
Go figure. All we gotta do is do what he says, and we get blessed just like he says, and we're so surprised.
Sounds every so time. Simple.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So surprised.
Because the sin is so easily besets
us. Yeah. Oh, God. But I know as for me, I mean, it's been strengthening for me, too, and seeing some areas of things. It's the same. It was good for me. Just as much.
2 minutes.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, that has been a lot of fun. We need to do this again.
Yeah.
We'll probably contact them on Skype and we can make this a regular thing.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm down.
Gil, you ready to do some radio on the Skype
thing? Well, you'll have to show me this scary, what do you call that monster y'all deal with on there?
I don't
have to do any of that? Yeah, oh, yes. Sure.
See, she's on board for that.
You know, I think that's a great idea because, Gil, you're always involved. You're always on the show and you always got things to say. I mean, why not?
It's like you're a firework ready to explode out there. I mean, we need to get you involved here.
It's your guys' program, but yeah, the idea of having
that's fun.
Revolving door.
It's fun. Together. Sometimes it might be profitable for somebody else that's listening. And yeah, that's a lofty goal I've set there, but
Paul, you and your goals, actually.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's, well, thank you, Davey. It's been fun to do. So,
amen.
We can, try and amend our routine to make it a good, better show. So there we go. That's it for another week with the Hour of Truth. Till next week. May the Lord bless you.
May the Lord bless y'all.
God bless all of you.
May the Lord bless every one of us.